Our first Bible reading today comes from Exodus 12, verses 21 to 28, where the Hebrew families were told to celebrate Passover every year to remember how God freed them from slavery in Egypt. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. The Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep the service. And it shall be when your children say to you, 'Why, what do you mean by this service?' that you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households.'" So the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 2, 41 to 42. Jesus attends Passover in Jerusalem with his parents. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And the last reading is from Luke chapter 22, 14 to 20. Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples, giving us a new tradition to remember how he freed us from slavery. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, True. Will the Lord be with you? Let's pray. Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be poured into us and through us, that this word today would get into us, and your Spirit would get into us and shape us and mould us as your children to become more and more like your Son Jesus. Amen. Friends, Christian faith is passed on and nurtured through trusted and personal relationships. The aim of this series, At Home with Jesus, is for us to learn to speak the language of faith, hope and love with our households and in our relationships more naturally. It becomes just a part of everyday life. And so far we've looked at two keys to help us. The first week was caring conversations, to actually share our highs and lows, but more than that, just to be present, to give people our unhurried, undivided attention, and to draw things out and to look for opportunities to sow a word of encouragement or blessing or prayer or a word of God. Last week, God talk in all its forms. And we said there that, well, when's the right time to talk about God? Well, any time or all the time, from the time you get up in the morning to the time you go to bed. Whether you're at home or whether you're walking down the road, any time's a good time to talk and share the good things of God and to remember his presence and promise with us. Today's theme is family rituals and traditions. And just to get us thinking a bit more about that, I'd like you to share your stories of when you were about 10 to 12 years old. What do you most fondly remember about the things your family did around Christmas time, like leading up to Christmas and then Christmas itself. So can we put that slide up, please? Okay, so I'd invite you to share some stories among each other for a few minutes. Oh, take me back to the good old days, hey? A few things I remember in my family. Just a couple of days before Christmas, or sometimes on Christmas Eve, I'd go with my dad and we'd put together a pointed star that my grandmother brought from Europe, and we'd hang it right at the front, the front of the church, so above the altar area. And I'd help Dad put that together. Driving out to the bush to get a real tree, a real pine tree for Christmas. Playing music as a kid. Like, I started learning squeeze box when I was about 8, and about the age of 11 or 12, I was playing the songs for the children's Christmas Eve service. And then we'd go home afterwards, after every Christmas Eve. We'd go home and have yummy treats. For us, that was dried fruits and roast almonds, biscuits, slices, soft drink. In those days, you only had soft drink on special occasions. And like most Lutherans, we would open our presents on Christmas Eve. Hands up if that was your tradition. Christmas Eve. Hands up if it was Christmas Day. Oh, cool, still a fair few. Right, interesting. Okay, well, maybe it's not a Lutheran thing. Maybe it's just whatever. Maybe it depends on whether the parents want to sleep in on Christmas Day or not. I don't know. And then Christmas Day, it would always be back at worship first thing, and then we'd often catch up with extended family, uncles and aunts and cousins, etc. And as I look back on all these traditions, I realise that they centre around worship and also family time. How precious is that? You know, a relationship with God that we share, and the joy of that we can pass on with our family. Friends, we remember and treasure positive family rituals and traditions for the rest of our lives. Isn't that amazing, the power of that? Family traditions, they're great opportunities to reflect on God's blessings and to remember his promises to be with us and for us. As Vicky said in that clip before, family rituals and traditions are probably more common than we realise. Well, let me give you some examples. When you get dressed in the morning, chances are you have a set pattern for the way you do that. Well, that's a ritual. When you're doing the dishes, mowing the lawn, washing the car, vacuuming the floors, you probably have a set pattern that you go through those things, or a ritual, yes? Family meal times. We all have customs or a certain ritual in every single household. It might be a little bit different, but everybody in the household knows, well, this is what we do, and this is what we do, and this is what we do. And then sometimes in families we have special things that have become traditions around eating together. So, when you're watching a movie as a family, sometimes, oh, who's going to get the chips? Or who's going to get the wine? Or curry nights that you might get together with certain bunches of friends. Or we might have a barbecue when people come over. Or Friday night might be takeaway night. Or Saturday mornings might be, well, whenever you get up, you have breakfast, you know. Every household has its own bunch of traditions. Now, let me ask you a few things. Is there traditions and rituals with football matches? Yes. Okay. So if you're going to go to the footy, how do you dress up? Team colours, yes? And you get to the football and a siren goes and then it all kicks up. You usually sit with your tribe to cheer your team on every time they score a goal, yes? Yes? And there's four quarters, so there is a tradition and ritual in the footy matches. Birthdays. What sort of rituals and traditions happen with birthdays? Cakes. Getting together for a feed. Singing happy birthday. Presents. Cards. Blessings. What about Easter? You remember being at Easter time as a kid? What was the tradition? First thing in the morning you would get up and look out for Easter eggs. Graduations. Is there rites and traditions for that? Sure. You know, you get a hat sometimes and a gown and you go to a boring ceremony. Oh, no, go to a ceremony. And there's usually a keynote address. There's some sort of inspiration to congratulate the people. And then they all march up on stage and what happens? Well, the dean or important person shakes your hands and congratulates you and hands you a certificate. And then often afterwards, take some photos and maybe go out for dinner or something like that. Weddings. Rituals with weddings? Absolutely. Whole heap of them. Dressing up. Having close friends or family in the bridal party. Inviting guests, family and friends to share your day. A ceremony. Toasts, speeches, dancing, feasting, lots of photos. Why lots of photos? So you can remember and relive the day. Every time you have an anniversary or holidays. Holidays. Families may go to the same places or with the same people every year. And like in Leanne's family, they were up in Queensland inland, they would always go to the coast. And this is the ritual of the day. Mornings were beach time. Then they'd get pies or something for a takeaway for lunch. In the afternoon, they'd go for a family drive, fish and chips for tea, and then games or chatting into the evenings. That's their family ritual, eh? It was good, yes. I remember being part of that. And then there's milestones in our lives. 18ths, 21sts, zero birthdays, 25th or 50th wedding anniversaries. Traditions and rituals, they reinforce the things we value and they mark milestones in our lives so we can remember them and relive the experience or how we have benefited from the experience, even if we didn't share it at the time. Our family has a thing where we remember going up to Queensland for Grandma and Grandpa's 50th wedding anniversary. That was about 15 years ago. But just a couple years ago, going up to Queensland for Grandma's funeral. Both those things were times of family gathering and blessing. And friends, as we invite God into those milestones, then they become defining moments on our faith journey. So, family rituals and traditions are those patterns of behaviour that can be expected to occur on a routine basis and communicate meaning or what we value in life. The way people greet one another, table grace, bedtime prayers, a birthday or baptism anniversary, a wedding or a funeral, are all opportunities to recall our shared life as followers of Jesus and to remember that Jesus is with us in all that stuff. If we think about the people of Israel in our readings before, what do they all centre on? The Passover. The Passover was the most significant ritual and event that was a defining moment in Israel as a nation. It marked the Lord's power in freeing them from slavery in Egypt. The power of God, but also the love of God in drawing his people to himself and establishing a covenant relationship with them. And do you remember about the Passover? As the 10th plague was drawing near, what was the 10th plague? The death of the firstborn. The Israelites were commanded to do something, weren't they? They would take, at twilight, they would take a lamb, yes? And the lamb had to be perfect. And unblemished. And they had to kill that lamb. And what did they do with the blood of the lamb? They would paint it on the door frame. And what did they do with the body of the lamb? Well, they would roast it whole, make sure none of the bones were broken, and then they would eat it. And as they ate it, they were to be dressed and to eat it inside, dressed and ready for a departure. And with it, they ate bitter herbs to remind them of their bitter slavery in Egypt. And they were to eat it with unleavened bread because they were going to leave quickly. They didn't have time for yeast to make the bread rise. So every time they do this, even today, they remember these things. And when the angel of death came along, what happened? The angel saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost and passed over that household. And so everyone in that household was saved by the blood of the lamb. Even today, the Jews, as they celebrate, they eat a lamb, roast lamb. Not all, sometimes a lamb shake. They eat unleavened bread. They eat the bitter herbs. And they sing and they drink cups of wine of blessings and remembrances. And it's kept the tradition going for thousands of years. As a boy, Jesus went with his family to Jerusalem for the Passover, a custom or tradition he continued right into adulthood. And so just before his death, it's really significant that Jesus chooses the Passover meal to establish a new ritual or tradition, which we call the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion. Some traditions they call it the Eucharist or the Thanksgiving. God in the flesh was about to rescue all humanity from slavery to sin and make it possible for them to become his dear loved children. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, the rituals of singing and eating and drinking and prayers of thanksgiving, all these have kept the memory alive for 2,000 odd years. Significant things happen as we remember that milestone. We look back at Jesus' sacrifice as the Passover lamb. And we remember that we are covered or made clean by the blood of the lamb. So God's judgment will pass over us because we are forgiven. We remember in the Lord's Supper that Jesus has come to be with us as we receive his body and blood today. He is giving us his favour and his love and his blessing. And we look forward to the time when we'll celebrate with Jesus at the heavenly banquet. It's a powerful ritual, isn't it? It remembers the whole scope of the story. Another Christian tradition, I'll just touch on this briefly, but given that the Jews had celebrated Sabbath or Saturday as their holy day for thousands of years, why is it that Christians, and most of them at the start were Jews, move that from Saturday onto Sunday? Yeah, to celebrate Jesus' resurrection victory that marks the start of a new creation. Powerful. Because of Jesus' victory, we know sin has been dealt with, the devil's been defeated, and death has lost its sting. And so every Sunday morning, as we share in this tradition, we remember, hey, we're more than conquerors through Jesus because we're joined to him. And hey, we've got a destiny and a future because of Jesus. And followers of Jesus keep gathering together, not because we're forced to or because we have to, because we love to. And so the writer of Hebrews urges us, hey, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what about our households and families then? How can we develop traditions and rituals that encourage one another in the good things of God? I'll give you a few. Not 16 today, just a few. Okay, greetings and blessings. Let's try this. The Lord be with you. Christ is risen. This is the day the Lord has made. God is good. All the time. Right, see, this is greetings. We just went through some rites of greeting. In the Bible story of Ruth, Boaz greets the harvesters, the Lord be with you, and they calls back, the Lord bless you. Remember the risen Jesus when he greeted his disciples? What was his greeting? Peace be with you. Shalom lekah. Standard Hebrew greeting. Paul begins his letters often with these type of words, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, our greetings and our partings can be great times of blessing. Leon Schoff, he's a retired farmer from New South Wales, father of Shane Schoff. And when Leon greets people, he always hugs them. And so when he hugged me, he would say, "Rolly, Jesus loves you." And he does that with every person that knows him. Bedtimes, great times to greet and bless. "Joy, I love you. God bless you as you sleep tonight." A parting, when there are partings in the morning, Leanne says, "Oh, God's favour be on you today." When friends or loved ones are leaving, you know, why not, as you shake their hand or put a hand on their shoulder, bless them. "God bless you, Jeff. God watch over you, Jenny, and keep you in his care. God's favour go with you, Jack. Oh, the peace of Jesus be with you, Julie. The joy of the Lord is your strength, John." See, by stocking up little phrases of scripture, we can bless people every time we say goodbye or goodnight. What a great thing to do, eh? And as you do it, they'll love receiving it. Christmas time. I submit to you that Christmas without Jesus is pretty empty. Marianne didn't grow up in a Christian home, but she still remembers a time of fun and feasting as a young girl. But I tell you what, with Jesus in Christmas, oh, it becomes something special. The songs that we sing, the songs remind us of the significance of God coming to earth in Jesus, and so we can know his heart to us is always good. Luther's thing about the Christmas tree has become, Luther, we think it was the first one to have this custom of the Christmas tree, and it spread pretty much throughout the world. Why not, as you do the Christmas, set up the Christmas tree, remind the family, "Oh, you know what the symbolism of the Christmas tree is?" "Oh, no." "Oh, learn this. It's evergreen to remind us that God's love is always there, forever." And we put lights on the tree. John was sharing, and I can remember as a kid, we put real candles on the Christmas tree, even in the church and at home. Real candles. Can't do that these days. But why the lights? Well, because Jesus is the light of the world has come to us. And the tree itself reminds us that the infant Jesus was born into the world to die for us on a tree. And then there's rituals in daily life or milestones. When people start their first job or go into a new job or graduations, getting a driver's license, children leaving home, children coming back home, weddings, anniversaries, retirements, shifting house, memorials of various losses and other milestones. These are all occasions to celebrate and recall the Lord as our source of joy and comfort and hope and blessing. They are opportunities for us to encourage and bless one another and to give thanks to God and ask for his presence and blessing. Birthdays can be different, not just singing happy birthday. Our friends, the Holmes, Bruce and Sonia Holmes, they've got 5 kids. And they got this delightful thing. They pray before the meal, of course, but during the meal, they have a box of Cornettos, right, that they hand out to every person. And these become Cornetto microphones. And each family member speaks into the Cornetto, but to the person whose birthday it is, saying what they appreciate and admire about the person whose birthday it is and the person's impact on the family. And of course, once you've given the talk, you can open your Cornetto and eat it. But get this, if you're the birthday person, how special is that year after year after year? What an amazing family tradition. Baptism birthdays. Here we give out a baptism candle and we encourage families, hey, light this on the anniversary of the baptism to remember that this is the day that life began with Jesus. And light the candle and maybe say the words, "Jack or Jill, you are the light of the world. You have the light of Jesus, so be and bear the light of Jesus into the year ahead," and to pray blessing on that child. Blessing. Starting the day by making the sign of the cross at a baptism, sign of the cross on the forehead and often on the chest. Good thing to remember during the day, and whenever you hear the words Father, Son and Holy Spirit, to remember, it's through the cross that I got joined to Jesus and That's really special in our baptism. All right, let's wrap this up. Rituals and traditions are powerful ways of welcoming into our lives and into our families and into our friendships the presence of God, the love of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, not just into our household, but into our networks of families and friends. And friends, who wouldn't want more of that? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, help us to recognize the things that we do routinely together with families or friends, that these are opportunities to welcome you in, to draw you in and to seek your favor and blessing and refreshment and healing and comfort and hope into all those milestones, Lord. Help us to think about how we can establish some of these rituals in our own everyday lives, that we would be your instruments of love and blessing into the lives of all you love, in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand for our next song.